This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, February 4th, 2024. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31.
Don't we sometimes wish it could be as easy as it was for Peter's family and for Peter's mother-in-law? We see how Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and they at once told Jesus, and immediately he healed her. Just like that. No waiting. Just a response right away. Maybe we cry out to God immediately, asking for healing when we are sick or facing some setback, and yet the answer doesn't seem to come right away. And it begins to sometimes feel as if God maybe is not paying attention or concerned about our situation. But today we find a wonderful reminder as we turn to the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40. And there we see our God is strong to save, and he will not fail us. As we look at this, we are reminded that God's people always have had that struggle to wonder if God is paying attention to their troubles. Consider a man who was the grandson of Abraham, Jacob. How Jacob would find himself struggling, fighting to make sure that he could attain the things he wanted, even though God had promised to him directly that he was going to bless him. But still, Jacob, by his own wit and by his own striving, tried to attain everything, until one night God appeared, wrestled with Jacob, giving him the name Israel, one who wrestles with God. And near the end, God simply touched Jacob's hip. It dislocated, and Jacob was left with a limp, realizing his strength was weak. And then we see Jacob insisting, relying on his God. You know, centuries passed, and we see over and over the descendants of Jacob, the people of Israel, those who wrestled with God, would wonder if God was concerned about them, would cry out to God, would even complain when trials came. And that's what we see as we look at Isaiah chapter 40. If anyone had cause for complaint, perhaps it would have been them, because they were those in Isaiah's time, who saw the Assyrians coming and destroying the villages and towns, and the northern kingdom was gone. And then, 100 years after Isaiah's time, we would see the Babylonians come and decimate the city of Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and take tens of thousands into exile. And so the people, Isaiah records in chapter 40, were saying, "Why is our way disregarded by the Lord? Why does he not pay attention to our cause?" Literally, the words are saying, why is our cause, our justice, simply passing by God? And doesn't God notice us? They're effectively saying, Lord, don't you care? Don't you notice? Now, we're probably not ourselves immune to begin to wonder these things. You've experienced it, I'm sure. From the strongest of us to the weakest of us, we face setbacks, maybe an illness, and maybe it's at those times when you begin to call out to God, but he doesn't answer. And the thought comes in, why is God disregarding me? And I know how it goes. You know, I can't claim to be of someone who's suffered as much as some other people that I know of. They've suffered much more. But I faced setbacks. I can remember over 20 years ago when I was studying to be a pastor at the college where I was training. I was probably at the prime of my life where I had gone to the gym for a year. I had been out jogging miles and miles each day. I was feeling great and I was young and strong. And then it hit me, a sickness which at first the doctors misdiagnosed, and I just kept on acting as if I wasn't sick until it hit the bottom. And I found I had no strength. And I found even months later, I could barely walk 5 or 10 minutes without being sapped of energy. So the thought came up, even as it took me years to recover from that. Lord, have you disregarded me? Why is my strength gone? I'm training to serve as a pastor, Lord. And maybe you feel the same way. When you face a setback, you say, Lord, I'm living to serve you, am I not? And what have I done that you are not paying attention to me? Perhaps that's how the people of ancient Israel felt, as their lives went sour. And those who were faithful were saying, does it even pay, as the Lord's not paying attention? But the Lord responds through his prophet Isaiah, first with a rebuke. He says, why are you complaining? Why do you say my way is disregarded by the Lord, sons of Israel, of Jacob? You know, it's kind of like the rebuke that Jesus gave his disciples. That time that the storm came and the disciples were afraid they were going to sink as the waves were sinking the boat. And they woke up Jesus, who was sleeping, and they said, Lord, don't you care that we are going to drown? Jesus' rebuke was first to the wind and the waves to show his power. But then after, he rebuked the wind and nature itself, showing his strength over creation itself and his command. Then he turns to his disciples. And in the new calm around them, he says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And that's a rebuke that God ought to give to everyone who turns aside from trusting in him to questioning if he cares. You know, the people of Israel had more than just that rebuke. They had a further rebuke, as God says, do you not know? Have you not heard? And they did know. They had heard. They had the word of God. They were not people like the other nations around them who did not have the revelation of the word of God. They were not people absent of the promises of God for them. They had known and they had heard who the Lord is and what he had done and what he had promised. And still, they questioned God's goodness. What about us? Do you not know when you are sick and the trials come and you start to wonder if God is paying attention and he rebukes the people, should he not also turn and rebuke me for the times I have begun to doubt his goodness, or you when we have doubted his strength and his power to save? Do you not know? Have you not heard? How ought God to respond when people who have his word begin to question and complain and turn against him, saying, the way of the Lord is hidden from me and he has disregarded me. He doesn't pay attention to me anymore. But God doesn't just respond to the people of Israel, the sons of Jacob, with a rebuke. In this question, in this rebuke is also a word of assurance for the sinner. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Yes, they knew. They had heard. And now, God, through his prophet, wants them and he wants you to hear once again words of assurance and comfort of his unending strength. He says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow weary or tired. We know this. The Lord, our God, who watches over us and gave us his promises, created the ends of the earth. There is nothing that has been made that he did not make. He is awesome in power and strength, and he who made all things is the everlasting God. He does not fade out as time progresses. He always has been and always will be. And he is one who does not grow tired or weary as we do. As we know, even the strong among us can grow weak. The young men stumble and fall. But the Lord, no. And the Lord, who is all-powerful and everlasting, gives strength to the weary. You've heard it. Hear it again. He is the God of unending strength who gives you his strength. Except for there was one man who would cry out to God. Only one, though, who would cry out and not receive the immediate response of love, but would rather have God turn away, even though he cried out in faith. That man was the one that Isaiah prophesied would be a man of sorrow. He came as a man in all weakness, and yet he is the one who calmed the storm and has power over all. But he lowered himself. He set aside his power. He set aside his glory and became weak. And in lowliness and weakness, grew tired and hungry. And yet this man never once complained against the Father as he faced hardship and sorrow. But rather we see this man trusting the Father's plan, willingly going forward, and even to the point where he was bearing the weight of that cross by those who had beat him and were going to hang him on it. His instrument of torture became so heavy in his lowliness and weakness he could bear it no more according to his human nature. And Jesus, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, hung on the cross in utter shame and weakness. Then we see the Father, for once, the God who turned away from his Son, and the Son crying out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Only he could truly say that his way was for a time, for that moment, disregarded, because on him were the sins of you and me, the people of Israel, of this world. The sinless, holy, everlasting Son of God himself was forsaken on the cross. His way, his justice was disregarded as the innocent died in place of the guilty, of you and me in the world. And that's good news, because he remains the everlasting God. Jesus, the Son of God, yes, rested in the tomb, but he rose on the third day. Young men might stumble and fall. Even youths grow tired and weary. But Jesus conquered death, and he rose again. He never ceased to trust, even though for a time he was forsaken. He never ceased to trust in the plan of the Father and that he would be raised to life. And when he was raised, he gave strength to his disciples who trusted in him. For, as Isaiah says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will soar on wings like eagles. That's us. Christ strengthens us day by day as he assures us that, yes, he has regarded our cause. He has taken justice on himself for our sake and for mercy. And he who holds all power and all authority now, the living Jesus, the everlasting God, strengthens you day by day. And you know, he who died for you will never turn away from your cause or disregard your way. But rather, he forgives you as you turn to him. He strengthens you with his good news, his gospel. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Christ, the Anointed One, is the everlasting God. And he who lives now feeds you with his word and the sacrament and assures you that your sins are forgiven and tells you you have a place prepared. And then the prophecy of Isaiah will be fulfilled in its fullest when the everlasting God gives strength to our bodies as he raises us to life. And in his everlasting kingdom, we will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. Not we who had by our own strength attained such things, but we who hoped in the Lord. There will be times in your life when you want to have what Peter had as the apostle, that sudden healing. But like all believers, we walk by faith. Faith in the promises of the everlasting God, and in his Son, the Anointed One, who lowered himself, who became weak, but whose now strength is unending. And he gives you strength. Put your hope in him, because the Anointed One, Christ, is awesome. And his strength is unending.